Wake up with Power FM's Brad and Hutsy.
There's all these reality shows that you may have caught, things like Storage Wars, Porn Stars. It's basically people trying to find lost bits of treasure.
That's right.
That, you know, people have got hidden away, forgotten about, that are worth a fortune. And there's an Aussie bloke called Ian Royce, who's kind of like one of these people. Whoa. He's right into old war memorabilia.
Okay.
But more, instead of medals and things like that, he likes the actual, like, explosives.
Oh,
and
like guns and mines and things like that.
He has, like a virtual arsenal of, like, old war antiques in his man shed. And recently he added a new one to the collection, which was found in someone's backyard of all places.
This is a sea mine dating back to the Second World War. It was discovered during a clean out of a Barwon Heads backyard.
Yeah. Normally in the backyard, when you find mines there, it's the ones that have been left by the dog.
Yeah.
In this instance, though, it was a 250-kilogram sea mine. Yeah, I know what you're thinking. Why wasn't it in the sea, Brad? Well, apparently back in the day, once these things got decommissioned after World War II, they turned them into incinerators to get rid of green waste in the yard because they didn't have green-littered bins back there. So they went, oh, we'll just convert an old mine into an incinerator, as you do. Why wouldn't you? So, yeah, Ian got the call. He's an antiques collector and said, Ian, would you be interested in this? And he went, sure. First, I've got to figure out how to get it to my shed.
Yeah.
You're thinking it's a delicate operation, maybe call in the bomb squad or something, or be very extra careful with it. Not really.
He simply strapped the bomb to the back of his ute.
And I already had quite a few things on the back of the ute anyway, but I was so determined to get it on.
Yeah.
Oh God.
Grenades and rocket launchers and all this other stuff in my ute, so it was fine. It was already ready to explode.
Turning up to pick up an old mine / bomb, I think you'd have the stethoscope and you'd be listening for like some sort of ticking noise.
I would be.
Like, all right, can I hear anything?
Yeah. I'm like, I'm glad it was his ute. Can you imagine trying to borrow someone's ute? Oh, can I borrow your ute? Yeah, what do you need it for, Ian? You're moving on the weekend?
Yeah.
A 250-kilogram mine.
Yeah.
That's what I'm moving. No, like we said, you know, most of these get used as an incinerator, although the question was raised about whether this one could pose a risk.
Yeah.
Is there any chance it'll go off?
We can test it if you like. We can give it a good old whack with a hammer.
That would be no.
I added the explosion for effect. It's like Ian's a few grenades short of a six-pack, by the sounds of it. So Ian's pretty happy now that he's got this in his collection.
I bet he is.
It's worth $1,200.
$1,200?
Yeah, an old mine from World War II. Why is it worth so much? Well, it's because it's Aussie made.
These mines were made just down the road at the old Ford factory and were used in the 1940s to combat enemy ships trying to reach our shores.
Yeah, there you go. So, because when I first saw the story, I went, oh, Australian made bombs, now considered relics. Is this a story about Holden's? Is this what it is? No. Well, made in a Ford factory. Who knew?
Power FM's Brad and Hutsy. Weekdays from 6.
The performance sector, just like every other sector during the COVID-19, the height of the pandemic, just absolutely copped it. Obviously, you couldn't go out and see things live, which meant no, you know, no circus shows, no entertainment things, no gigs, all that sort of stuff. Gone.
There's always a chance to catch Delta, though.
Yeah. Like, oh, God, poor Delta Goodrum.
Poor Delta Goodrum.
Absolutely copying it.
It's going to be really hard to sell tickets to whatever tour she does next. Like, it really is.
Yeah, Delta sold out. Delta now on sale. Just those key words that aren't going to resonate very well with people that are
don't miss Delta.
Exactly right.
I prefer not to.
But yeah, the performance sector, absolutely copying it. And, well, the circus performers in particular would be copying it as well. And the Melbourne Circus School, well, just like everyone else, they've had to do things a little bit differently the last few years.
After COVID stole live performances and closed Melbourne's only circus school, budding acrobats, jugglers and tightrope walkers have had no choice.
Trying to hang from door frames, doing chin-ups and anything we can.
Yeah,
your whole life. Like, we train 8 hours a day, 5 days a week.
Yeah, some of the students at the Melbourne Circus School, just imagine going to your local playground, you see a bunch of, you know, half-grown people hanging from all the monkey bars doing training and all sorts of stuff.
Because it'd be hard enough just being a regular kid, like a regular student, doing your classes via Zoom. I don't know how you do it as a tightrope walker. Like, it's even more difficult.
A little bit rough, isn't it? Yeah. This reminds me of when we saw, like, Winter Olympians and Olympians practicing during lockdown with, you know, sleds, all sorts of just stuff to try and keep, you know, sharpen on the ball.
Like, even the lion tamers are like, oh, I can't have a lion in the house, trying to stick their head in their cat's mouth. It's like, come over a little wider. Just like,
good luck with that one.
Keep fending it off with a chair. Yeah. Get back, you Moggy, get back.
Like you heard with door frames. And that sort of stuff. I imagine it's like, it reminds me of, you got a door, you got a gym. Like those old ads from back in the day, they would have had to deal with things like that. But it has been a very long journey for some of the students over the last few years in particular.
3 years ago, 22 talented young performers began their first year of training. Despite six lockdowns, seven performers have managed to hang on and finish the three-year Bachelor of Circus Arts. They even managed a virtual show.
Yeah. All right. Bachelor of Circus Arts. What kind of other stuff, what would the theory be behind that? Obviously, you imagine the practical, but what would the theory be? Would it be like all to do with physics and where you have to stand on the rope and things like that and weight-bearing loads? It'd be like engineering or something, maybe.
Yeah, yeah.
Really complicated.
So do they eventually have to do their tests, and how does that work? Is that done online as well?
Well, probably the Macca's playground at this stage.
Yeah.
The way they're doing their finals, I don't know. Very, very tough sort
you're
of
system. Trying to complete your final test.
Yeah.
You know, like you're, you know, trying to get into Cirque du Soleil, and in the background, Dad's like, get off the ceiling fan.
I'm picturing Squid Game or something like that. You heard, like, there was like 22 and only seven made it through in the last 3 years of training as well. But the thing is, though, it's never too late, though, Brad, to chase your dream, to run away with the circus.
You know, I did dream of that as a kid.
Really?
What would you
have done at the circus?
I don't care. I'd be happy just to join the circus. I mean, probably a clown, I guess.
It sounds glamorous, though, but it's like that. It's like run away with the circus, yeah. But it's like they need people to move things around between sets that wear all black stagehands and things like that. So.
And the circus has animals. They need someone to shovel up all the animal poop.
So. But the good news is, the dream isn't over, because all ages can start a career when it comes to circus training.
For those who still dream of running away to join the circus, it's never too late.
We offer our classes to the public for all ages, so from littlies of 5 years old, and we've got students training at the moment over 70 years old.
Oh, wow.
There you go. I wonder what the 70-year-olds are doing. I'm not sure. Is it like cracking all the bones on demand, like out the front in front of people?
Yeah, or maybe trapeze artists or something over the age of 70 wouldn't even need the trapeze. You can just glide like a sugar glider with all the loose skin.
It's good to hear, though, they're back doing their performances virtually, albeit for now.
Yeah.
So that's good as well, good. Because, you know, like, fast forward now, they're doing proper performances. That's great. Like a couple of years ago, you know, when they were trying to do the virtual performances, it was a little bit sad. It was a little bit like this.
Send in the clowns. Those daffy, laffy clowns.
Thank God those days are over.
Wake up with PowerFM's Brad and Hutsy.
Now that we've reached that vaccination sweet spot, our doors are reopening again, getting back to business as normal. And the New South Wales government wants to let all of us New South Welsh people know that we are free to roam about the state and check out all the sights and delights that it has to offer. They've come up with a new tourism campaign. Our Premier, Dominic Perrottet, or Dom P as we call him, he was there the other day when they announced their new $10 million tourism ad.
Really encapsulates the beauty and the experiences that New South Wales has to offer.
It is your typical tourism ad, you know, bit of music, all the beautiful scenery.
Aerial shots and things.
Oh, a lot of drone shots.
Yeah.
Mate, I should get into like drone piloting. What do you call them? Drone pilots, drone remote artists, whatever they are. They get a lot of work these days. And, you know, the ad, it's good. I don't know if it's $10 million good. Like, I caught it, and there was a few bits I think they could have cut out of it.
Welcome to New South Wales. A place to feel alive. To feel free.
Currently, I'm unable to go back to work unless I get the job.
And most of all, to feel new again.
It's unconstitutional. They're arresting me.
I probably would have cut the protesters out, to be honest. I don't think they really add to the value of this, but $10 million. Like, do you really need to spend that much money to convince us to go outside? Like, we were in lockdown for a long time. I'm happy to go out and look at anything else that's not the inside of my house.
Usually just a bribe of a happy hour at the local pub is enough to get me outside.
Yeah, give us more Dine and Discover vouchers. That's what you can splurge your $10 million on.
$10 million, though. This reminds me of that one they had involving Kylie Minogue to try and sell Australia to British tourists. And that never aired because it was right when COVID first hit us. So
yeah,
that
I
one's
saw
in the
that.
Vault.
As much as I love Kylie, that was not a good ad. That was money poorly spent.
Definitely.
So yeah, this is what they're doing. The $10 million tourism ad. Hopefully it'll get more people to come and visit our beautiful state. I'm like, Cowra got their mobile phone out, made an ad.
That's it.
Joked about making a giant Chris Hemsworth. It got publicity around the world. Now he's going to go visit the place. I'm like, are we getting any Hemsworths for our $10 million? For $10 million, I would expect them to give us a Liam,
yep,
throw in a Luke, mm-hmm, and we'd still have like $8 million to spend on other stuff.
Power FM's Brad and Hutsy. Weekdays from 6.